Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel by Chris Mooney Singh, episode number 7. In this installment, Yogi, Margot and the two girls who are still visiting in Singapore go off to a puppetry festival. They had plans for after dark to find some shadows in a park. A festival of puppetry, the hotel brochure said, was free. Asian troops, 3 days and nights, Myanmar butterflies, Thai sword fights, Malaysian tales of dove and monkey, a swordfish speared into a tree. Cambodia, they buffalo rode, Laos with monk and Buddha's code. The girls sat down to giggle clap as hopeless heron got in a flap. Flying fish flew into the moon while whale sang his signature tune. They wandered free from booth to booth and saw small staging of big truth. Margot smiled and Yogi sighed, enjoying the girls' gawk open-eyed. She felt relieved. He's here to stay, co-starring in her shadow play. The Balinese shadow puppets came up next, much-loved Wayang Kulit, the main event. Audiences massed now for a marathon on grass mats. Then the announcer spoke.
Go behind and look, it's our tradition.
Or all could get up, go for coffee, snooze.
Let's go and see there, restless Pauline said.
Margot put her no negotiation terms. It was her challenge.
Perhaps ask Yogi.
Pauline looked to Adele. Neither was happy.
I'm staying put, said Margot. I need a break. Look, Yogi knows all about these things.
Mummy, we want you not.
Such defiance. You can't go by yourselves. It's simple as that.
Boundaries reasserted. Paul gave in. After intoning mantras to call the spirits and coaxing them to sit upon his tongue, the Dalang got things ready for the story with his puppet sticks chosen for tonight. Pronged into the horizontal length of something soft and wet and yellow-green placed there underneath.
Why is he waving his fan about?
She asked again, while Paul, still in a pout, said nothing.
It's not a fan, he whispered with backstage etiquette. It's a tree inside a leaf of sorts, he said. See, a tiger and wild boar are below the trunk, plus monkeys sitting on the branches.
But what's it for?
Asked dying to know Adele.
I think it starts the show, said Yogi, digging, remembering invocation starts an epic.
Tonight it was the Pandavas and enemies about to steal the epic micro stage, aided by Gamelin and the Dalang's toe rattle.
They've got noses long as witches, Paul provoked.
And skinny necks,
Adele scoffed, following eyes of judgment on the flat-faced figures held up by the Dalang.
They're weird, Paul said.
These little Western eyes would not appreciate. Why were they like this? Yogi wondered. They had flipped from angels into devils. There were wild cards. Reading the situation, the announcer, who had travelled with the troop to England, Europe and America, tried a rescue.
Girls, it takes a lot of work cutting leather, painting a nose so long, put on sticks boiled from buffalo horn. See Arjuna, noble looking, a hero.
Yuck, that's gross, Paul said.
Eyes turned again. He had misjudged. These hard-to-please spoilt types, he'd seen a lot of them, especially in the States, too rich and jumpy, poor in understanding.
Fiddlesticks, said Pauline, aping Mum. Sticks and stones, said Del, the copycat. Bones and phones and witchetty crones, Paul chorused. They had veered off topic into silliness. Victory achieved, the little demonesses jumped up and ran off straight to join their mum. The tree was twirled to heaven and away. The tail of black leapt onto the sheet of white, and the audience was in the Dalang's palm. The noble king of character and dharma, Yudhisthira, spoke now in Kavi tongue. While two pot-bellied fellows serving court and turning up between the scenes to crack bad jokes filled in the gaps. Father and son were interpreters in broken Bali English. Tonight it was the tale of the good Raja. Wanting the Mahayagya, the fire blessing for Indraprastha city and its people. God Indra said that he and his Pandava brothers should first humbly enter the forest, meditate and purify themselves with upthrust bulrush scenery for a pond. Behind the screen, the Dalang brought up his fish on the buffalo horn stick, wiggling its tail with a sing-song voice, yo-yo, yo-yo, this way and that, yo-yo, yo-yo, until the other hand brought next a stalking heron to fill its belly. Aroused by gongs and clash of leather puppets, the Dalang played every part with verve.
"Wow, son," said the servant with pot belly between the scenes.
"What's that, Dad?"
"A cue." Yudhisthira and entourage could enter. The pregnant fish came for protection.
"Wow!"
"Yes, Dad, what?"
"The fish knows Kawi. She is lady, got babies in her belly."
This was more to the girl's taste, and they laughed. The heron turns up pleading too, a case, having to feed her young as well. It was an impasse and an ethical dilemma.
"Who will you help now, Lord, the fish or bird?"
old Potbelly asked. Yudhisthira offered himself in place of the pregnant fish swimming around his ankles, but the heron, like all the other animals, could not eat a lord of dharma and thus backed off to bow.
"What happened, Dad?"
"Wow, a trick from heaven. The bird become God Vishnu and fish is Brahma. The gods tried to trick our good lord. Wow, Yudhisthira, you always for the people, you really great king."
And so the gods rewarded the king of dharma with a lotus flask.
"What's that, Dad?"
"It's Amrit, son, blessed water. It can heal peoples and bring the dead to life."
"Oh, that's good, Dad."
Next, the gods instructed Yudhisthira in Kavi. All cleared the stage except for father and son.
"What are they saying, Dad?"
"Yudhisthira, be careful. This special water, it's ambrosia. Look after it."
Yogi too came back next to Margot, two daughters now placid at each side. The looming storm of little girls was calm. And so the tale unfolded the final hour. Yudhisthira handed the precious liquid over to Bhima, his brother, for safer keeping, still sloshing in its lotus flask, who passed it to his half-demon son, Ghatotkacha, the super wrestling giant, the Rakshasa. Flying high above the Himalayas, Ghatotkacha dropped the lotus bottle, bringing to life demons inside the mountain. Soon the land of snow was boiling heat, threatening the earth. "It's global warming," Yogi said, "the melting of glaciers." "Interesting," she thought. "There's insight there." Of course, a good tale must turn bad sometime. Yudhisthira and the Pandavas arrived to handle with care the bad boy hot-haired demons. The ways of trolls was introduced in turn by two new potbellies, demonic brothers, through jokes and dance. "Our Rakshasa brothers, after 1,000 years, are free at last. See the shooting fire missiles. Good! Arrows, ping, 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 ping," at the Pandavas. They did a silly dance to the gamelan and, in conclusion, clonked their demon heads together, knocking each other out. Soon they recovered, roaring with belly laughter. Then the demon commentator by name of Lum started doing his push-ups, working hard. Reaching 11, Lam slow leaked a fart. Pauline and Adele thought this hilarious and squealed with pleasure. "Shh, you two," Mum said. "Sorry for my perfume, everybody," breaking the fourth wall, worthy of Arto and Brecht, who'd filched the epic Orient. Next, Boss Rakshasa launched a fire arrow, and Yudhisthira put it out with water warfare. Arjuna challenged the Rakshasa to the death, sending an arrow through the demon's heart. The demon headman's name was Prashchinti, who prepared to finish off the Pandavas, assuming into his body 1,000 demons. He grew immense, filling the shadow screen, then went to battle, pushing back the Pandavas until Yudhisthira, knowing all too well, should the brothers be killed, the ceremonies for Indraprastha city and his people would not proceed. "You call Shiva, my lord," old Potbelly counseled. Young Potbelly came out of hiding. "What happened, dad?" "Prashinti demon swallowed all the Rakshasas. Our lord has lost his heart. He must pray Shiva." Yudhisthira intoned and Mahadeva came, speaking in Kali. Old Potbelly translated. "Yudhisthira, I know what is your problem. This is not the god's fault. This is your fault. So why you give Ghatotkacha special water? Ghatotkacha is very young. Yudhisthira, these young guys can't hold the sacred things, which is like the tiger milk, too strong. It melts through any dish, even gold one." Yudhisthira was getting more depressed. Shiva spoke again. "What happened, Dad?" "He's telling Yudhisthira, okay, don't worry, God will help you, God will give you the way." Atomically armed with the hellish missile from Shiva, god of endings, Yudhisthira had the power of 10,000 storms. With every thrust, mountain ranges shift. With every thrust, three worlds shake and quiver. With every thrust, Rakshasas fall down dead, splintered from Prashinti like flint sparks. Yudhisthira shoots until every limp Rakshasa piles up, and the field of war is silent. "Wow," said Potbelly. "Yes, the demon body in turn again became a mountain. Wow. I think our ceremony will be saved." "Yes, Dad, I think our story stops here." The characters left, and now the Tree of Life returned to center stage to close the play. Gamelan played on in the background. The audience whooped and clapped and cheered. "Wow," aped Yogi. "I think this story cooked." "This one at least," she murmured. "What do you mean?" he asked, not following. Margot kept mum. He's pretty slow, she thought. Then suddenly the heat seemed bad. She didn't want to risk more disjuncture. So she smiled and hid all her past and future apprehensions, snugly in the dark. She feared the girls, subdued by travel, droned to sleep by gonging into slumber, were still Papa's puppets. She let herself breathe in her husband's youth and vigour, for now the war was paused, despite the shadows imminent around her. Her family saga had reached an epic stillness. Two long days in paradise were over. They ferried back each dumpling sleepy head. Two lovers travelling undercover quietly lay together in one bed. Yes, they'd missed each other. He stroked her hair. Wriggling like a puppet, she could flex her legs to dovetail with him bare as they performed the art of silent sex.
missed alarm, early morning, push of panic, rush to pack, lost toothbrush, rainbow toe sock, bill to settle, cab to call, rushing for Changi, along the freeway, brisk arrival, no need to tip, baggage x-ray, last call, lineup, luggage check, passports chopped, lifting of lumpage, complaining older, compliant younger, stepdad's burden, some small elation, moving walkway, rush to boarding, loudspeaker paging, flight 303, the nick of time, sigh of relief, Singapore girl, good morning, sir, good morning, madam, good morning, girls, how are you this morning? You've been listening to Foreign Madam and The White Yogi, a verse novel by Chris Mooney Singh. For more of my work, check out my website at chrismooneysingh.com, and we'll see you next week for another episode. Until then.